Kevin Barry hails from Limerick, though he spent much of his youth traveling, living in 17 addresses by the time he was 36. In Cork, Barry worked as a freelance journalist, contributing to a regular column to the Irish Examiner. Keen to become a writer, he purchased a caravan and parked it in a field in West Cork, spending the next 6 months writing what he described as a terrible novel. Barry has described himself as a raving egomaniac, one of those monstrous creatures who are composed 99% of sheer, unadulterated ego. In 2007, he won the Rooney Prize for Irish Literature for his short story collection, There Are Little Kingdoms. In 2011, he released his debut novel, City of Bohan, which was followed in 2012 by the short story collection, Dark Lies the Island. Barry won the International Dublin Literary Award for his novel, City of Bohan, in 2013. Our executive producer, Derek Hewitt, had a delightful talk with him recently. Let's listen.
Welcome, Kevin, to the Book Report.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
City of Bohan is set 40 years in the future in a sort of mythical Irish town, and it's full of incredible characters. Why don't you give our listeners a quick overview of the story?
Sure. It's sometime in the 2050s, somewhere on the western seaboard of Ireland, and we're in a small, malevolent, homicidal, very glamorous little city. There is no technology in Bohan. There are no guns, no cars. There's a lot of high fashion. There are lots of knife fights. It's a kind of a technicolor entertainment, if you like. I was very inspired, I guess, by things like Guys and Dolls and West Side Story, and even going back to the Troppany Opera, to Brecht. But also a lot of what it's very influenced by TV, I think, and by film. And a lot of what I would have been watching while writing the book came into it. And it kind of had to invent its own language, because it is very much an invented world.
On reading the book, that's the very first thing you notice, is the richness of the language. I mean, you drew on all kinds of inspirations, obviously. It's complex, inventive, full of really sort of reinvented local patois. I mean, there's Irishisms in there, but overlaid with all kinds of other layers of things. It seems as though you've absorbed every linguistic influence from Shakespeare to Joyce to Tolkien, and a new futuristic language has flowed forth. What would you say were the most powerful influences in your writing?
I would say, even though it's an invented city, the actual cities in which I grew up, which were Limerick and Cork, and though it's kind of an invented language, it is sprung from the way the English language is beautifully abused among the working classes in places like Limerick and Cork. It does very much come from that actual usage, but there's lots of invention in there too.
So, Kevin, I'm sure you get asked a lot about the city of Bohan. Where is it actually? What's it made up of?
It's, you know, sometimes as an Irish writer, you look at the map of our country, which is a small, tormented little rock on the edge of the Atlantic. And as a young writer coming through, you think, God, it's all been done before, you know, by brilliant writers. And there's no place left for me to cover, because Edna O'Brien has done that bit and John McGahern has done that bit. So I actually got a marker and I drew an extra peninsula onto the western seaboard of Ireland, and I said, this is mine, and I'm going to make up all the rules, and I'm the puppet master out here, and I set my malevolent little city at the edge of it. It has elements of actual Irish cities like Limerick and Galway and Cork, but also cities elsewhere that I spent a lot of time in the UK and in Europe. I was actually on holiday in Porto, in Portugal, when I began the book, and I took a lot of the physical geography of Porto for Bohan. But I hope it works as its own realm and as its own place. And the way to make a place work on the page for me, above all, is to get its voices. Because if you can get how people speak, you can get everything else about them, I think.
Well, it certainly works. It could be, some ways it feels like a Boston, actually.
Yeah, for sure.
You published your first novel, The City of Bohan, in 2011. What did you do before then?
I had a slim volume of stories that came out in Ireland, my first collection in 2007. Before that, I had worked as a journalist for many years as a freelance reviewer, critic, and I was doing fine, but I wasn't quite getting happy. I knew that there was a part of my brain that I wasn't using, that murky, subconscious place at the back of the mind where fiction and drama and stories come from. I was always writing through my 20s, but not in a disciplined way. I was kind of writing at 4 a.m. having crawled home from a nightclub, and it would seem like genius at the time, but would never stand up to the light of day. And I guess around the late 20s, 30, I became serious, and it became the first thing that I did every day. And I think the really strange thing is that literary talent isn't rare. There's lots of it about. Lots of people can write great stories, great sentences. But what is rare is that pragmatic, stubborn thing that makes you go to your desk every single day when you don't want to do it. And I discovered belatedly that I actually had some of that as well. And you need the two. You need that combined with the talent to get anywhere, I think.
So how did reactions differ from Irish readers to American readers to the book?
Yeah, I mean, I always operate kind of on the basis, if you are writing in a very dense patois, if you like, I operate on the basis that if I can get Kansas, Kansas can get me, okay? So if I can understand, say, a TV show like The Wire, written in a dense Baltimore patois, they can get my West of Ireland. It does ask the reader to do some work early on. I think it takes probably 20, 30, 40 pages to get with the flow and the rhythm of it. But I like books that make you work a little at the start, because then something clicks and you feel like you've earned the reading experience and you're in there. And we can't let readers get too lazy.
In Dark Lies the Island, your latest book, you've brought us an eminently giftable collection of witty short stories. One reviewer said there's nothing uniform about Barry's storytelling voice. He does humor, he does high drama, he even dabbles in horror of a kind, and he can handle just about any other narrative form you might think of. You're obviously a guy who doesn't want to be pigeonholed. Can we expect a series of novels interspersed with short stories from you? Because both would be welcome.
Very much so. I think, in a way, the short story is my first love. I really love the form. And when I have an idea, usually my first impulse is, can I make this work in the space of a short story? But I'll go between the two, I think, the two forms. And I think the work will be very various. You know, I've all this notion that a writer finds his voice and drones on in that voice for 40 years has always struck me as debt. You know, I think every book is going to be very different. But I hope they're unified, if they are unified by a fatality in the prose and on the page and by a vibrancy.
Well, that's certainly there. The stories in Dark Lies the Island are very different from each other, but each have what seems to be a remarkable trademark of your writing, or at least what seems to me to be one, which is instant immersion in the time and the language of the place through beautiful visual detail. Do you think about this consciously as you write, or does it just flow out of the picture?
Yeah, I think what makes the short story such a difficult form is you have so little space and so little time to get the reader, to catch them. You've got to do it inside half a page, and you've got to create a world inside a half page, and you've got to kind of telegraph so much information and so much feeling in that space. Most of my stories go dramatically wrong and fall off the desk and end up dead on the floor. For every 10 I write, only one ever gets outside the house. It's really difficult, but I think it's the difficulty of them that attracts me to them. And I think the very best short story writers out there are people who continue with the form all the way through their careers, like our own William Trevor, or like Alice Munro, or George Saunders. It needs a lifetime's dedication as a craft, and I'm going to give it just that, I hope.
Readers, Dark Lies the Island goes straight onto the shelf alongside my favourite short story collections, such as those from Roald Dahl and P.G. Wodehouse. Kevin, thanks very much for joining us on the Book Report.
Great pleasure, Derek. Thanks a lot. Thank you.